So today's topic is something where I've been trying to create a video for like a couple of years now. And so this is kind of like testament to like every video that you see that I put out, there's footage for 20 more videos that I have not yet put out. And it's like, so on this particular topic, I've been trying to build footage, and it's like, you know what I really need to do is do this a whole different way. And that whole different way keeps presenting itself and then not happening. And a lot of it has to do with like, we're going to talk about women peeing outdoors. We're going to talk about, and so I have really, in a lot of ways, I have really no business being part of this podcast. On the other hand, it's like I'm not afraid of the topic, which offends a lot of people, and I don't mind. So we're going to go ahead and...
I think people are surprised that you're as pragmatic about the topic as you are. You're just being very practical and holistic about it and healthy about it. And I think people are surprised that a guy can talk about a woman peeing in a healthy way. But we should introduce...
Anna Berkus, who we don't have to introduce. She's been in the Natural Swimming Pools podcast. That actually ended up being two, by the way.
I know. Hello.
That's good. That's good.
And so it's like there's times where I have visited with women. They're like, oh, yeah, I want to be in a podcast. And, oh, look at the time I have to go. And so it's kind of like, uh-huh, you really wanted to be in that podcast, didn't you? And so, or we're going to do a video for 5 minutes. Yes. Oh, that's so important. That's such an important thing. We have to do it. We have to do it right now. Oh, look, I have to go. And then they're gone. And it's like, all right.
On this topic.
I've had several women who did. They individually appeared in video, and I got the footage to make the video, but it's like I kind of felt like I needed a component for the video where I would have a panel of women. And I put the panel together twice, and both times the panel all split, like when the time came to video. And it's like, wow, this is God. I'm so glad I drove hours out here for this and to have people chicken out. And it's like, and it is. It's a sensitive topic. And a lot of women are sure that they can tackle the topic. And then it turns out when it comes right down to it, they can't. It's too much. So
Anna talked about it. We all talked about it at length last night. She did a great job of explaining a lot of things.
Yeah.
So this is a topic of interest of mine, and I've actually started writing a book about it because I think it's really important that women learn how to pee again. And basically, we're stuck peeing, or a lot of women are stuck peeing, in a toilet in order to be comfortable and with toilet paper. So I wrote a book that has not been published, but it's in a draft form, and it's going to be called How to Pee Without TP. So it goes over a variety of methods just on that, how to be comfortable peeing and the step-by-step methods of how to do it.
Now, yesterday when you were telling me about this, you were saying that you need an illustrator for this book.
Yeah, I kind of designed it as a comic book, and honestly, it's kind of like a raunchy comic book because I'm trying to bring humor to the subject and just make people really comfortable talking about their bodies and have them hopefully laugh, hopefully not be offended by my raunchiness, but rather just think like, okay, we can make fun of ourselves and we can also see the beauty in it, and this is fun.
So basically, in order for, if somebody listening to this podcast now is an illustrator and willing to cross a boundary to illustrate in this space, how do they contact you?
They can email me. My email is AB, that's the first two letters of the alphabet, @mcn.org. So M is in mom, C is in cat, N is in Nancy.
So the organization you're part of is Mom, Cat, Nancy?
It's Mendocino Community Network, and it's a local provider that donates to schools and yada, yada, yada.
All right.
But your first priority is not the book, right?
Well, the book originally had been my first priority, so I started writing this book. It's, about 10 pages long. It's a pamphlet more than a book. And then I got the idea, like, well, wouldn't it be nice to pee without taking your pants down? And why do we have flies in the front when our pussies are at the bottom, our vulvas are at the bottom? And so I created a pair of pants that I'm calling chick fly pants, and they've got the fly of the pants at the bottom, where our vulva is and our vagina is, so that we have access to ourselves instead of in front, like guy pants.
And what sounds cool, too, is they're zipperless.
They are zipperless. Believe it or not, they have no attaching device. It's just done through the tension of the fabric by the way it's designed. And you can still, squat and spread your legs, and it doesn't open up by accident, but you can pull it apart with your hands. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Now, you're going to do a Kickstarter for that.
I am. I'm really excited about doing a Kickstarter, and hopefully that'll be coming out in the next few weeks. I still have another prototype I need to tailor to get to sew my pants and get some pricing and stuff. But, yeah, I'm about to launch these pants, and I'm really excited because I think that a lot of people will like them.
It sounds like a smart thing to me.
Yeah.
All right. So let's, so one of the biggest threads, one of the most active threads on all of Permies.com is women peeing outdoors. And so I started this thread, and it starts like this. You go out to a permaculture farm, and it's like, okay, here we have a dry out house, and so we want people to not pee in it. And so here's 45 students for PDC, and we're just going to say, all right, we'd like to ask everybody, here's one outhouse. We've got a few around. Please don't pee in them. Does anybody have any problems with that? And then everybody's like, is everybody okay with that? And then so everybody nods their head up and down, like, oh, yes, I'm okay with that. But it is my speculation that 70% of the women inside their minds are shaking their head, no, I'm going to totally pee in that because that's how I roll. I'm not comfortable with peeing outside. And it's like, okay, one of the issues that might keep them from peeing outside is just like shame. And it's like, oh, I don't want anybody to see me naked. I don't want to see anybody to see me peeing. I don't want anybody to see my pink bits. I don't want any, I want privacy. I need complete privacy. Okay, that's another issue, but I don't think this podcast is really about that. And I do think that that can be part of it. But I think the focus is, I think the issue is that women are not sharing the information amongst each other about techniques to keep from getting pee all over your shoes, pee all over your legs, pee all over your butt, pee all over everything. And it's like there are women who have mastered this. But I think that there's a majority of women who have not mastered it. And so then I think that what the thread does at permies.com is there is a healthy information exchange, a healthy and respectful. I think the big difference is that a lot of women are uncomfortable talking about it. So there's a lot of comfort, and it's okay to talk about it at Permies. But I think we're a unique community in that way.
Well, I would just like to admit, that this has been a hard thing for me to talk about. I grew up with a very Catholic mother that was like, oh, don't touch yourself. Like a little kid holds himself when they have to pee. She's like, oh, no, don't do that. Don't touch yourself. I mean, that's how I grew up. And very Catholic household, even though we stopped going to church, but very white, suburban, very, very, that kind of environment. And so this has been a space that's been a little hard for me. And I have to admit, I've read through the thread, and I haven't participated in the thread, but I've actually been trying to get better about this because this is a place I've been a sprayer. And and it's just like, okay, the pants are going to get wet no matter what I do. And so I've actually been like practicing in the shower. I've been trying to figure it out. And some of the suggestions in the thread didn't really make sense to me, but I'm excited to have Anna maybe explain more about her stuff, because I actually, after listening to her last night, I actually tried peeing outdoors and it worked.
Really?
Seriously.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Oh, yeah. See, that was really
now she's got it, because I've been just such a messy, that I'm like, no, a leaf, it doesn't even work if you're like spraying everywhere, and you're going to get it no matter what you do with your pants, if you're wearing pants or sometimes even a skirt. A skirt's better to get out of the way, but if you're a sprayer, your pants and your shoes are just toast.
So now, and this was part of last night, you were talking about how 8 years ago or so that for you, personally, Anna, it was a disaster and a mess and
it was
and,
not.
Okay, not a disaster. It was always a mess.
I required toilet paper. It was just like going in the toilet. It was the same.
And then you got this idea of like, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to figure this out.
Right, because it's a hole, and a stream comes out, and it seems like you should get that stream to go somewhere and not have to have it hit a bunch of things on the way down to the ground.
Right, right. Your legs, your feet. You know.
Yeah, and it's kind of taken a long time, and I've been working on it, you know, really for years to try to figure out all the right things to do. And there's like four things that you kind of have to do. And then there's like some extra things that you can do under certain environmental conditions.
All right. So I want to make it clear that we're going to use the full beauty of the English language. And originally last night I was kind of thinking, okay, there's probably a few words we don't need to hear. But then it's like, you know what? No, I cannot think of a word that we should avoid. And in fact, we were kind of talking about this a little bit last night, and I thought when I first met Jocelyn, I remember there was a book on your shelf called Cunt, and it was like, but it was a feminist book,
yeah,
saying that the word actually has all this positive background.
Yeah. It was actually my daughter's book, and I was starting to read it. I didn't quite finish it, but it's about reclaiming the word and reclaiming the power of that word. It used to mean a priestess. Anyway, we don't have to go there, but I think, you know, even Anna was using the word pussy, and I think if you're, you know, we have different euphemisms for the body. In most cases, I think how we've been talking about all this, and I think Anna should have the mic more than me, but I think, you know, we've just been talking in a healthy, holistic way about bodies, in a respectful way about bodies. Nobody's using derogatory terms or disrespectful terms. And I think when people are using certain terms about their own body, it is, you know, in a respectful way. There's nothing wrong with it.
I think one thing to clarify, and this is something where the vagina monologue goes a little wonky, and that is that the vagina is not the whole set of bits down there. So the vagina is not the labia. The vagina is not the clitoris. The vagina is not the urethra. And I think, you know, the vagina is the vagina.
Yeah.
And so, and then it's like, okay, well, if we want to talk about all these parts in a collective, then what other word is there besides pussy? Now, I've heard yoni used as a collective.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, that's like...
The PC term is private.
No, that's not very PC.
I think that is a big negative. It's like teaching people to... That's another thing too. I think a lot of people that are like really, like they're really. Well, I'm gonna use the word sad. Things are, their life is lame. I think a lot of it is they're taught that sex is dirty, and bad and naughty. Like the idea of using, I'm gonna be dirty or I'm gonna be bad. To me, that, you know, that does not, that should not be part of sexuality.
Right.
And so then it's like, now we start ending up in this space of like, okay, you know, this is, becomes a taboo. So yeah, private is very, a very strong of saying,
it's
never talk
word.
About
You're
it,
right.
never, you know, it's got that embedded thing. So I don't think private, I think private is not a good. I've gone with pink bits a lot. That one seems like it's not as,
You're the only one I know who uses that term. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
I've heard it before.
Well, It with regard to peeing, vulva is much more appropriate than vagina because it has nothing. The vagina has nothing to do with peeing. You're not interacting with your vagina. And I really get bothered when people refer to their pussy as vagina because it does not even include like the clitoris, the main sexual stimulus for the female.
Right.
And so it's kind of like it makes it, it, to me, it makes it more male centric when you say vagina, because it's talking about the part that's most stimulating to the guy. And when I talk about the pants, which I'm calling chick fly pants, but originally was calling pussy pants, then the vulva and the vagina are more relevant because you're talking about accessing your whole genitals. I like the word pussy. I don't know why I don't like yoni as much. It's not like any problem with the meaning of the word or historically or something. I'm just not drawn to it.
It's like, in order to distance ourselves from it, we have to come up with a word that's like a whole different language, and somehow that helps. And that seems to be kind of hiding from...
Yeah, and that is one area where the vagina monologues uses humor to talk about that, about all the words that get used as euphemisms for a woman's sexual parts. So Yeah.
Well, and today we're not even talking about sexual parts.
Right. No, we're talking about peeing.
Right. Yeah. So we just wanted to address it in case we're using these words so that people understood where we were coming from so that nobody was offended. That
so
was
first,
cool.
Vulva, and vulva does not include a vagina. That's the vulva is a different thing, isn't it? I mean,
the
it's the mound.
Is the out. The mound is the mons, and
yeah.
The vulva, I would assume the vulva includes the mons, but I'm not sure, but it definitely includes the inner and outer labia and the clitoris and
I would
the
say
clitoris and stuff.
My limited understanding, not having this equipment, is that the vulva would include the outer labia and the mons.
I would say it includes the mons as well. That's
yeah.
my opinion, but
yeah.
I don't know technically.
So, all right. The key is that now we're I think vocabulary is going to be important and not being bashful about vocabulary because we're going to talk about, like, a variety of different things on how to get all this to work without getting your shoes wet. All right. So then this is the part where I probably should shut the fuck up.
All right.
All right,
Anna, to me. I'm supposed to tell you how it works now?
Do it.
Okay.
Spell it out.
All right. Well, I've broken it down into some steps, but the main goal is you want that pee stream to go straight from your urethra, run along your inner labia where it comes out. It comes out from between your inner labia, and you want it to hit the ground without hitting anything on the way. So the things that it generally hits is when that pee stream comes out, it runs along your inner labia. It could run, if your butt is too low because you're squatting too low, it can run down towards your anus and get everything there wet. It can run, if your labias are stuck together, your inner and outer labia, it can run from your inner labia to your outer labia and into all the hair and then start spraying around that way. So really the key is to get the hair out of the way, the outer labia out of the way, and get your inner labia just kind of, you know, falling with gravity, basically, pointed towards the ground so that the pee stream can run off the tip of it and hit the ground without hitting anything in the way. The other thing that I've noticed, at least on me, and another thing I'm interested in is hearing research from other women because this is all my research is based on my own anatomy, and I know we all vary. So that would be an interesting thing to get more feedback before I actually finish writing this book. But on me, my labia is shaped, it's curved. It's kind of like a curve, such that when the pee comes out, if it runs off of it and I'm squatting too low, it will kind of run down the edge of the labia back towards the anus, as I mentioned before. But if I lift my butt...
Now you're trying to
demonstrate.
I'm trying to do it. It doesn't work
for podcasts. I know. It's hard for me to not... I speak with my hands and body, obviously. So if you lift your butt, you switch the angle of your labia such that you have the curve facing down, and since water follows gravity, it will go off if the tip of that. There's nowhere else for it to run.
You want the inner labia to be the lowest point.
Right. And so when you're doing this, I really recommend looking at yourself. So if you're flexible enough, and you can do this on the toilet too to practice, but if you're flexible enough, you want to, you know, squat down, put your head between your legs, and look at everything and actually make sure that you can see that the hair is out of the way and make sure you see that the labias aren't stuck together through moisture so that you know everything is facing the right way. So basically, you reach down, you grab the outside edge of your outer labia and kind of pull everything apart, or you can grab the hair and just kind of shake everything back and forth a little bit so that it separates, because when you have your underwear and your pants on, everything gets kind of mushed together and stuck together. So you want to kind of separate it all. It found that if you have your hair cut short or if you wax or shave, you can usually get away with kind of jiggling your buttocks back and forth while you're squatting. Some people will have issues touching themselves. I don't myself, but if you do, that's something you'll have to deal with, basically. And then what else? What's next? Oh, so the pee stream. The other important thing is you can kind of squat naturally after you've got, you know that everything separated, the pee stream should have a clean shot to the ground.
And the kind of ground is important.
The kind of ground is important. You want it, well, let's go into that a little later.
Right.
Desert environmental factors, separate.
Okay, all right. Didn't mean to interrupt the stream there.
So you got your stream of pee. And when it's pressurized, when it's going pretty strong, you can relax and let your butt, you know, go down as low as you need it to be comfortable, because that stream will make the pee go forward and not drip down towards your anus, even though that there may be skin for it to run down. But near the end, when it kind of starts to waver or drop, that's when you need to lift your butt up higher so that it drops off the lowest point of your body, which at that point is your inner labia.
Now, when you're doing this, the hard stream, you've parted the labia.
You've parted the labia.
And then when you're doing towards the end, then you let the labia back in, the inner labia back in, because they're going to help direct the stream.
Well, basically, I don't part the inner labia because I don't actually need to touch that part. And I have a kind of a variety of methods, and I, based on what clothes I'm wearing, like there's the inverted peace sign method, and those are like two fingers that you just kind of stick down between your labia and open up. That's one method. Sometimes you don't get the hair closer to the backside of your vagina or your anus as much right there that might be necessary to get out of the way. Another method is reaching from behind with both hands and pulling everything apart that way, or you can reach in the front and kind of pull everything apart. But you're not reaching in to touch the inner labia because you kind of don't need to.
You're just pulling apart the outer labia.
You let it go back in because you don't want it all spread out too tight, because then if you're pulling the outer labia too far apart, then it will pull on the skin of the inner labia and it will actually cause the stream to shoot off to the side and hit your leg. So you want to pull it apart and separate it, and then you kind of want to let it go back so that it's still pointing straight down and kind of relaxed, but that it's not connected to anything.
And I think your description of the butt angle is so helpful, because I was experimenting in the shower, mm-hmm. just angling, you know, putting the butt up a little bit, even when you're standing. I got a much more direct spray, a much more direct stream, less of a spray. Mm-hmm. And so squatting, you know, if you squat, you know, it tips your bottom kind of the wrong way, mm-hmm. as you first try to do that. So, mm-hmm. so I think that has been really key for me. You were saying you wanted feedback from other women that
uh-huh.
keeping the butt up helps it be a more direct stream.
Yeah. And I find I like to relax in the beginning and not worry about having my butt up until the end. And another method for that is, instead of, if you like have a hard time with your thigh muscles or something, lifting your butt up right at the end, because it can be a little bit hard. Another method is, when you feel that your pee stream is waning, you can just cut it off and hold it. And then you don't get like that last, you know, 2 to 5% of pee out, but it doesn't like feel bad. You don't have to feel like you have to pee afterwards, and you just hold it for like 5 or 10 seconds, like with Kegel muscles. And then you cut that stream off with like a quick clamp, and then you just
save it for later. Right. Okay.
Yeah, less dripping, less dribbles and mess. Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. This is something I have zero experience in. So, but it sounds like the thing is that you want to get the inner labia to part at the beginning, but you might do that without touching the inner labia.
No.
No,
well,
I'm wrong.
It's not.
I thought the labia was like the labia was getting in there to help make things go from stream to spray.
Right. The inner labia is not parting; it's separating from the outer labia. So if anything, like if you're going to do it with your fingers, you might stick your fingers between the inner and the outer labia and push the inner one closed. Even it doesn't have to be open; it just needs to not be connected to the outer.
So you're saying that the inner labia helps to make the stream be a stream.
Yeah, because your inner labia is kind of like a V and with a curve at the bottom.
Right.
And that's what the pee comes out on. And it's kind of like a little penis. I mean, it's pointed, it's shaped, it has a tip. It's kind of perfect for peeing. Like, it's probably made this way for a reason. But then when it gets connected, when it sticks to the outer labia, the water can run off of its tip instead of going straight to the ground. It goes on to the next piece of flesh.
Right. So when I was recording the videos, there was one woman who said, I have one labia that's a lot bigger than the other labia. And so then what it wants to do by natural design is wet my left leg, which is not okay. And so then she was saying that getting the labia aimed correctly is the first big step. And then
was that her inner labia?
Inner labia.
She must have had to get that one out of the way. But I think, you know, I tried what Anna said last night and just separated the inner and outer labia, and I had a much better stream. I did not spray.
Okay.
So I have a longer labia than the other, and that seems to be my lead labia. That's the one the pee streams off of. And it's just, you want it to be pointed straight
down. It's the aiming labia, yeah.
and so you want that to be pointed down. If your pee stream is going to come off of that, you do not want it pointed towards your leg.
Now, in the video with this particular woman, with the one lady bigger than the other, she said that her favorite technique was that she would, it would almost be standing and leaning forward, and then she would try and shoot everything, like, 3 feet behind her.
Yeah, I don't find, I mean, I can kind of shoot backwards a little bit, but if I want, but I don't find that that's ideal at all for
me. Way too advanced for me.
Advanced being.
Oh, man.
Level 7.
Apparently that's where I'm not spraying my thigh and my feet. I'm happy about that. Trying to spray out the back is like, wow.
Well,
that's
advanced.
Beyond.
That requires a few years of yoga.
I don't know what
before
requires.
Attempting. Okay, all right, all right. Now, okay, you were saying something about the ground.
Well, I usually just shoot for the ground right between my feet. And I want to make, you want to look and make sure that your feet are you're not wearing bell bottoms or something, or your pant legs aren't like bulging out there. So I will pull my pants out of the way. And you have a, you know, pretty wide stance, at least a foot apart, if not, probably I only have my feet a foot apart. But you want to find nice absorbent ground. You don't want to pee on leaves that are going to splatter. They can be leaves that are mulky enough that they're going to be absorbent. But if it's like a big maple leaf below you, don't aim at the maple leaf. Aim between the leaves, at the hole in between. And you can have a lot of aim. And that's another thing is you can move your stream around as you're peeing and totally have control over where it lands. So you can do that as you're holding your labia apart just by moving the skin of the whole vulva, because it all is kind of soft and moves back and forth. And it's like your little joystick. You can take it, you can aim it, and you can hit it wherever you want. So anyway, you do not want to hit ground that is going to splatter, because it's just that's where you get a mess. And so when I'm going to pee, when I get stuck peeing on like really compacted gravel and I know it's going to splatter, I'm on the side of the road somewhere and that's just where I'm stuck, I then put my butt lower. I put more pressure behind my pee stream, and I pee more forward. And that's when I use that clinch method more, is because I just want it to end before I have to lift my butt. I want to end while I'm still kind of facing forward a little bit. But I avoid ground that splatters as much as possible.
I think, okay, so now you're saying you want to get more feedback from more women. And that when we've already got that very popular thread, Women Peeing Outdoors, and so I think that'd be a great place for women to go and tell their stories, and it might help to feed your book. Mm-hmm. And then maybe the thing to do is, as you develop the book, to post some of the images that are being, like when you've got somebody that's an illustrator,
mm-hmm.
you know, get them up on there and see if people feel like that their solution / scenario / whatever is being covered. And
mm-hmm.
and so then that way the book can be robust and then we have progress in this space.
Yeah.
All right, what have we left out?
Well, I just wanted to say that when I have a choice to use toilet paper, when I'm in a bathroom, I use toilet paper.
Right.
However, I still will use the method of lifting my butt when I'm in the bathroom, because I don't like that pee runs onto my anus even when I'm sitting on a toilet. And I simply do that by, when you end your pee, you just kind of lean forward and put your head between your legs, and it lifts the butt up enough, and then you don't get pee on your anus. And another thing is that if I'm outdoors and there is something that's good to wipe with, I will use it, because it's nice to get the last drop off, because there is a last drop or two that's on the, in between the inner labia. And that drops, basically, when you don't use this method, in my opinion, there's like 20 drops spread all around, and it brings it down to like one or two little drops.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And so.
Now, last night you were mentioning this, and then some people were like, you got to be kidding, you don't dare use that. But then you said the magic words, which I think made it all okay. Consider the mighty power of UV radiation from our greatest UV radiation source, the sun, and how sterilizing that UV radiation is.
Right. So I like to wipe with, like, ideally the best thing to wipe with, and this is the thing, is it's not really wiping, but the best thing to dab with is a river rock. And the reason why is it's totally smooth and it's totally absorbent, and you just touch it to yourself, and it works like a sponge, and it just sucks everything out. And like, it works way better than, like, a mullein leaf or some sort of leaf that even is kind of, like, furry or something. Leaves just don't work. I almost don't even bother using them. I never wipe with a leaf if I have a rock or a stick.
And wipe is not the word. It's dab.
It's dab, because you really want to pick something up from the woods that is going to absorb what you have, and you're not going to wipe really at all. Well, I could go into details. There's another method for pooping.
Yeah, let's leave pooping out of this one for now. It's
yeah.
But
but okay, so basically another thing is like a piece of driftwood is really ideal, because it's dry, it's very absorbent.
And it's been sitting in the sun.
And since it being in the sun, if it's driftwood, then it might even be salty and have that extra preservation. But yeah, wood that's not moist wood, not a stick that you just cut off of a tree. It's got to be totally dry and porous so that it has that absorbent quality.
So let's also add in that, you know, your day job of expertise. I mean, so there's a reason why we had you come in and work with me on the natural swimming pools project. Mm-hmm. And that is that, you know, gray water systems and black water systems and fresh water systems and potable water systems. I mean, this is your day job.
Right. So I'm a hydrologist. I have my master's in hydrology. And so we could just call this geomorphology of the pussy. Huh. It's all about how things flow. Water always goes down.
Well, and of course, we've got a very intimate knowledge of, like, what kinds of problems might happen from using a piece of driftwood or a river rock.
Yeah, and, you know, the truth is that I'm not the type of person to be that concerned about these things, so I know that somebody else is going to be more concerned than I am, like you are more concerned than I am about this, and you're, you know, presenting this to your, you know, the people that listen to your podcast and such. It wouldn't cross my mind to be concerned. So I don't know if you say I have an intimate knowledge about it, actually, since I don't actually worry about it. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yeah. And I do think there are, like, different schools of thought about sterility versus cleanliness. And so, and I think in the world of sterility, I think if you're going under surgery, I think sterility is a good thing.
Right.
I think when you're washing the dishes, I think cleanliness beats sterility. And I think part of it is that if you sterilize your entire environment too much, that's going to also reduce your resistance to illnesses.
Well, and there's so many more. I mean, we had this discussion a little bit last night as a precursor to this, but I think there's a lot of people are learning now that bacteria and healthy flora and fauna is a good thing, you know, and especially human, what was that movie? He called us bacteriosapiens.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so that was that in Farmageddon? Anyway, we have a ton of flora and fauna, and that's a healthy thing, and we've learned that eliminating bacteria and eliminating what modern world has called germs can actually be unhealthy, and it can create, you know, kids and people with more allergies or more immune problems if they haven't been exposed to certain things. But it's a very individual comfort level. It's a very individual. We talked about a lot of gardeners, you know, well, if they have lots of dirt on their hands, you know, they might want to wash first and after, you know, but it's definitely an individual comfort level. I think a lot of the podcast listeners and permies.com users are very, very familiar with urine and that it comes out sterile and that it's only that it's just such huge bacteria food that it almost immediately becomes, you know, an attractant for things, you know.
It can become problematic.
You know, but I think most people understand that on the whole it comes out sterile and there's a lot of people going without soap or shampoo with their own bodies and just having natural oils, body oils, and natural flora and fauna to keep their systems healthy instead of removing everything with soap necessarily.
Right.
So
right.
There's some progressive thought in that area, but it's definitely very individual on what people are comfortable with.
Yeah, when we were talking about it last night and you said, what about yeast infections and such? And we were drinking a glass of wine and I said, well, I think this glass of wine or the white bread I ate is going to be much more likely to cause me a yeast infection. It's what I'm putting in my body and consuming rather than something that's touching the outside of my body.
Because it creates an imbalance in the system and the system can't balance itself as it should.
Right. And with regard to, like, diseases and stuff, I think we're much more likely to get them from other humans, like touching other humans and then touching ourselves or at least other mammals. But I don't think that, I think that, like, the small bacteria in the soil, I think that it's not as much of a concern because it's not coming from another mammal. It's not a disease that we carry. And I'm sure that there's exceptions in the world. Like, I'm here in Northern California, and this is where I grew up, and I grew up peeing outside, and so I'm comfortable with this environment. And, you know, I've heard of, you know, going in Africa and walking around, you know, privies and getting hookworms, and they just crawl up through the bottoms of your feet. So there's other places, you know, you might want to look into where you live, but, you know, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, and I've just never heard of having anything come from the soil that's really that damaging. You know, I mean, if you eat soil, you can get pinworms. there are things like that, but even things like tapeworms and stuff, you would get it from your cat, another mammal. You were not getting it from the soil so much.
So I like the idea that, like, and this is something that's come up in that thread out of Permies, and that is that, okay, if you're out working in the garden and your hands are covered in dirt, and it's like, okay, and part of the mission is going to be to try and manipulate your labia, then in order to be able to pee, in a clean fashion, it's kind of like, oh, now you're getting a bunch of dirt in there. You don't really want. So I think it is good to, like, okay, if you could wash your hands first before, that might be a convenient. I mean, you know, on the other hand, they're going to go. The alternative is they go inside and pee, but I guess they leave the dirt on their hands.
Well, another thing is, if I have really dirty hands, I would grab a tip of the hair and pull everything apart without touching the skin.
Okay.
And so I don't feel like enough dirt from my fingers is going to get on a hair and get on anything. I don't know.
Just, right.
And that's a great tip. That's a great tip.
Yeah, yeah. So I know that, well, anyway, I think that there is lots more to be able to say in this area, but I think we're about ready to wrap up. Mm-hmm. What else we got? Anything?
No, that seems
good. I know that for the pants that you were talking about, so you're going to do the Kickstarter for the pants, that one of the things that you said is that when you pull the pants apart, which is all it takes, then another thing that is another benefit is that you kind of have a built-in seat protector thing, so that way you're not sitting directly on the toilet seat.
Right. If you're at a public toilet, you don't have to pull your pants down. You can sit and have the thigh of the pants is still on your thigh, and then you're not touching the toilet seat.
Right. And so that seemed like a smart thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we're good. Anything else? No.
Ah, I'm excited to see the pants. They sound great.
Yeah, that sounds like it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. If you like this sort of thing, come on out to the forums at permies.com, where we talk about being outside, homesteading, and permaculture all the time.